Welcome to the Words of Grace podcast. In these podcasts, we seek to clarify, amplify, and apply the Sunday sermons at Grace Community Church. From time to time, we'll also discuss other topics as we consider how to live out our faith in Christ. Our desire is that the Word of God would press into your everyday life. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. This is Josh.
Hello, Josh and everybody. This is Scott.
Yep. And so glad to be back on. This is Tuesday. I guess that's the same day it'll go out usually, right?
That's right.
And
sometimes we do this on Monday.
That's right.
But today we're doing it on Tuesday, but it will go out on Tuesday.
That's right. And had a great time on Sunday and continued on in Acts chapter 9.
Right. Long chapter. Mm-hmm. A lot going on.
Lots going on.
Yeah. I got to clarify something.
Okay.
Since this is, how do we say this? This is amplify, clarify, and apply. Mm-hmm. Here's a clarification. There will be another sermon in Acts 9. Yeah. Acts 9. Just not on the conversion and ministry of Saul.
Right.
So we only went through the first 31 verses that focuses on Saul.
Right.
Now we're going to be in a section that focuses on Peter.
Mm-hmm.
But the last part of 9 is where that starts to happen.
Right.
We focus on Peter. So just to clarify, we will be in Acts 9 again next week, just not on Saul. Yeah.
Right.
All right. Most people didn't even think that, have thought about that.
Right. Well, we'll be ready now.
Yes.
So give us a little overview of this Sunday's sermon.
Yeah. So this was the immediately after the conversion time in Saul of Tarsus, the Apostle Paul. This was immediately after his conversion, he started preaching, proclaiming Jesus as the Son of God, and spent this half here of Acts 9 lasts about 3 years. And you have to compare that with Galatians 1 in order to match the timing up.
Right.
And so he is in Damascus, and then he is in Jerusalem, and then he gets sent back to Tarsus. The movement, the thing that's moving this narrative along are two plots to kill him, a plot in Damascus to kill him. He escapes to Jerusalem, a plot to kill him in Jerusalem. He goes to Caesarea and then on to Tarsus. So the action is carried along by these plots. But what we talked about mostly on Sunday was how we see, if we're really seeing clearly, if we're seeing spiritually, if we're seeing with the eyes that God wants us to see, the eyes of faith, then we can see that Jesus was actually keeping him, preserving him and protecting him, even strengthening him as he was going through this really intense 3 years of ministry, learning, growing, and escaping plots on his life.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, I think that's kind of where we wanted to zero in today, was just to highlight again this this idea of seeing clearly from the perspective of God's sovereignty. I think you did a great job of showing some ways that someone from an outside perspective might look at what's going on with Paul and say, well, this guy's a failure. He's got people after him. He's being lowered in a basket. That's embarrassing. And that kind of thing. It would be easy for us to equate what was going on with him with failure. And you're saying we need to change the way that we look at Paul's circumstances here, but I think our own lives as well.
Yes.
So how might you suggest that we shift that perspective?
Because
we're not talking about just optimism. You mentioned that too.
Right.
What's the difference between this and just like silver lining, you know, kind of thing?
Yeah. Well, the Christian has the promise and has the truth. A Christian has the whole narrative of the Bible to see the sovereign hand of God working from the beginning toward his purposes.
Yeah.
And the Christian has the promises of God, and the Christian has the promise of Jesus himself. I'm with you to the end of the age.
Yeah.
And the promise of God, I will never leave you or forsake you. so that means that we can look back or look at current. We can look back and see the hand of God, and we can currently look at our lives. And even if we can't figure out the details of what God is doing and how things are going to actually end up, the point is we walk by faith knowing that God is keeping his church, that the Lord is with us in his presence, that his hand is powerful, and nothing escapes his notice. All these great promises. Mm-hmm. It just helps us to see differently. Yeah. That's not just pure optimism, like, oh, everything will work out in the end. Mm-hmm. Well, it depends, doesn't it, on what end you're talking about.
Yeah.
Things don't always work out well in the end in today, or that bad things happen. Mm-hmm. But if we mean by that, that God's ultimate purposes with and for his people, he is going to accomplish, then we can say, yes, all things work out good, will work out good in the end. But again, the point being, we see differently when we have our minds rooted in that truth of God's sovereign care over his people. As we said Sunday, the keeping power and grace of Jesus. Mm. We just see life differently.
That's great. I think that's helpful because, you know, if we looked at our lives completely uninformed by Scripture, mm-hmm. it would be really hard to get with what you're talking about here. Mm-hmm. But in Acts, you see Luke starting out in the first chapter with the promises of Jesus. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the other ends of the earth, right? And then you see over the course of Acts that being absolutely true. Mm-hmm. And the means by which he does it, especially in the initial times, is through persecution. It's what kind of moves people out, just like he's doing with Paul. You see that theme continue on. So with Acts, we see God doing it. Like Luke shows us that perspective. We see mm-hmm. a promise from Jesus. We see that being carried out mm-hmm. through the persecution of the church. And that helps us see, even if we don't get the bird's eye view of our own life, like we can see God did that in early church, and he is doing something with me right
That's
now.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Well, I like what you said, without that perspective of Scripture, you're constantly judging the rightness or wrongness of your activities and your actions based on immediate outcomes. Mm-hmm. So if it's a good outcome, you say, well, that was a good move. If it's a bad outcome, you say, that wasn't a good move. But what do you do when you do something good and the outcome's bad? Mm-hmm. You see, without a biblical understanding and framework to say God is sovereign, then we might say, as you mentioned, we might say, well, you know, Saul must have done, he must have missed his calling, or he did something wrong, or God abandoned him because they plotted to kill him. Mm-hmm. And of course, then we go on to say, yes, but he was delivered. But sometimes God's people aren't delivered.
Yeah.
You know, John the Baptist got his head cut off. Saul died somehow. So did Peter.
Yeah.
So with a biblical understanding and a framework, then we don't judge actions by their immediate outcome. Mm-hmm. We judge actions by the rightness or wrongness of them as revealed by God to us.
Yeah.
It's just a totally different perspective on life. Without that perspective, you kind of never really know, do you? You're just mm-hmm. waiting around to figure out, you know, if there was a good or bad outcome. You're not really sure if you're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
But with the perspective of God has revealed his word, his truth is his truth, we obey his commands, and we trust his sovereign hand, regardless of the immediate outcome or consequences of what we do, and we know that he will keep his church all the way to the end.
Yeah.
Much easier spoken right here from me.
Sure.
Than lived out in the real time and space of life.
Yeah.
Because all kinds of things happen.
Yeah.
You know, that's always the challenge of the preacher, isn't it? To not come across like things are easy. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to proclaim them and be truthful about them.
Right.
But not act like they're always easy to remember. Because in the moment, it's not always easy to remember. It's tough, even for the guy preaching it.
Yeah.
So we have to pray for each other.
Yeah,
that's one of the things, I'm kind of off track here. You may have something else to ask about, but it's one of the things I appreciate about being a part of a local church is, you know, when one's knees are wobbly and hands are weak, another can strengthen.
That's right.
And in another season, the roles may be reversed. Mm-hmm. We can help each other.
That's right. That's right. I think another piece that this makes me think of is like our understanding, not just of our circumstances, but that something that zooms out a little bit further is like our understanding of what God's purpose for our life is in the first place. Because mm-hmm. I think a lot of times when we get down about and question about things that are going on wrong in our life, mm-hmm. it seems to betray a little bit of an assumption that God's job is to make our life easier.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me think of Romans 8. Mm-hmm. You know, we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. If you just take that, you know, take that by itself, mm-hmm. all things work together for good, we might think, oh yeah, our good. That's what God's there for. Mm-hmm. It says, no, called according to his purpose.
His purpose.
And then it says, those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his mm-hmm. son. So mm-hmm. the purpose, the good that he's bringing about
mm-hmm.
is us being conformed to the image of Jesus. Mm-hmm. The means that he might bring that to us mm-hmm. is stuff that we might not always define as our good.
Yeah.
But he's doing something with it in his purpose.
That's right.
Yeah.
And immediate outcomes are not always what are considered good.
Yeah.
Stephen was executed.
Mm-hmm.
So where's the good in that? Well, the good is that he met the Lord. He was faithful.
Mm-hmm.
He heard the words, well done, good and faithful servant.
Yep.
Enter in, come on home.
Yeah.
So we got to, you know, we got to think things through.
That's right.
And go all the way to the bottom of what the Lord is communicating to us so that we can see clearly
mm-hmm.
And hopefully not be overwhelmed by the circumstances of life. We need to start teaching this early to new Christians. I think somewhere along the way, you know, it was kind of like lead somebody to Christ and then tell them the hard news later.
Right.
And I don't subscribe to that. I mean, of course, you want to show people the goodness of the gospel and why Christ is to be loved and honored and believed. And
right.
But you also want to say to people pretty early, like maybe even as they're becoming a Christian, now make sure you know.
Foxes have holes and birds have nests.
That's right.
Yeah. The Son of Man has no place to lay his head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Make sure you know that this could be hard.
That's right.
And that way nobody says, hey, you know, you didn't tell me.
Mm-hmm.
It was a bait and switch. You know, because that's what Jesus does.
Yeah.
And so I think it can help the perspective, certainly of a new believer.
Yeah. It seems like this is one of those things where we have to be ready to know and understand this when something comes
mm-hmm.
instead of after the fact. I feel like most yeah. of the time when I'm aware of this, it might be after the fact. I might think of it once I'm out of the cloud. But
yeah.
How can we maybe prepare ourselves and get the patterns right in our thinking and mm-hmm. in our faith life so mm-hmm. that when we are going through these things, it doesn't just completely send us off the rails?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, what we're doing now is, I think, helpful,
mm-hmm.
just to talk about it and examine the scriptures plainly and clearly,
yeah.
and let them present the raw realities as they are, and not try to apologize for the Bible or you know make it appear better than what we think it's saying. You know,
mm-hmm.
so we got to be careful for that. And then I think it's helpful to remind ourselves that even though we do know these things. Even though we can say today, yes, God is sovereign, and tomorrow our lives can, you know, really have take a different turn. If we feel the pain of that, no, mm-hmm. That's nothing to be ashamed of.
Yeah.
You know, we are human. So let's don't go the other way and say, oh, this means that when I go through a hard time, it's like I'm not even going through, I don't even feel it. It doesn't faze me at all. It doesn't affect me. Well, I don't think that's the promise of the Lord.
Right.
again, we were earlier in staff meeting, we were talking about the Apostle Paul. He's Saul of Tarsus in this mm-hmm. passage, how we know him. And later he becomes known as the Apostle Paul. And his second letter to the Corinthian church, he is often talking about his hardships.
Mm.
And yeah. he very much felt them. So, but he didn't waver. So let's make sure we've got that right mixture of not wavering in faith, but allowing ourselves to feel things as humans.
Yeah.
And then we'll trust God with that.
That's great. That's great. And this coming Sunday, we're kind of shifting the focus away from Paul, mm-hmm. and now on to Peter.
Back on to Peter. Mm-hmm. That's right. And Luke does that in Acts. He highlights different people. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about Peter for a few weeks. And then as we move on, we'll be back to Paul. Mm-hmm. And we will actually see where Luke goes from calling him Saul in Acts to calling him Paul.
Right.
And then the rest of the book will be primarily about Paul.
Yeah.
And his missionary journeys, and then his final, his arrest, and then his final journey on to Rome, which I don't know that you'd call it a missionary journey, but he's certainly doing gospel work
right.
on his way to stand before Caesar in Rome.
Presumably, Luke kind of enters the scene too, right?
That's right.
From he to we.
That's right. The writer mm-hmm. of the book of Acts enters the scene. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, we're looking forward to it.
Okay.
We'll see you Sunday.